In November, state regulators at the Department of Financial Services broke new ground, issuing what are reportedly the first climate change insurance guidelines in the country, essentially directing New York insurance companies to plan for the impacts of the climate crisis. The move was welcomed by environmentalists, who called the action a major step in protecting the state's insurance markets and consumers. To discuss the final guidance, we're joined by Dr. Nina Chen, who was brought to the department in 2020 to serve as their first ever Sustainability and Climate Initiatives Director, and was tapped in early November to lead the department's newly created Climate Division, which comes with the new title of Executive Deputy Superintendent. Welcome to the show, Dr. Chen.
Hello, thank you for inviting me.
So what are the actual, I guess, ramifications of the Department of Financial Services, DFS for short, issuing guidance to New York insurers on folding in their financial risk from climate change into their government frameworks, their business plans, and their risk management processes?
Yeah, so as the financial regulator for our insurers, we really want to make sure that they stay safe and sound in the face of climate change, which is increasingly recognized as having significant impact for the financial market and could be a material risk to our entities. We do this because we want to make sure our insurers can pay the policyholders, pay our New Yorkers, continue to be there when our citizens need them. And so what it means for the insurers, you mentioned a few overarching aspects. So for governance, we want them to have board oversight. Everything starts from the top. We want them to have a board member or committee to be responsible for the oversight of managing climate risk. And we want them to consider how does the business environment around them change when they make business plans, and then integrate climate risk into their existing risk management system. So they don't need to reinvent new wheels, reinvent a whole set of a structure, but consider how climate change impacts their credit risk, liquidity, reputation, how they operate, and so on.
So then what does this mean then for the customers of these insurance companies? Will it affect, say, the policies that they're able to get or the cost of different items that they might be interested in?
I don't think the impact is direct. Like I said earlier, this is really to make sure our insurers stay safe and sound in the face of climate change. So we very much emphasize in the guidance that insurers should consider the affordability of their policy when they think about how to deal with climate risk. So can they just purely rely on increasing premium as a way to manage risk, or should they think more strategically and encourage their customers to take, say, the right mitigation measures so that risk can be managed in long term? We don't want to see the same thing happen in California, where certain areas are become uninsurable for wildfire risk. We want insurers to be prepared as climate change brings more natural disasters to us.
So then what does that mean in terms of the different risk that insurers might need to account for in the future? Does this mean they need to think that there's going to be a higher likelihood, say, of flooding in certain areas, or maybe less rainfall in others? What kind of possibilities do they need to account for?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we kind of grouped climate risk into two buckets. One is physical risk, so like acute ones such as hurricanes, floods, as well as chronic ones, like you mentioned, the drought or heat waves. And then there are also transition risks. So those are risks that arise as the society transitions to a low carbon economy. So the carbon intensive sectors, for example, oil and gas, coal, and the carbon intensive infrastructure might become stranded or not worth as much as people thought they would be. So this could have impact on both the underwriting side, meaning the insurance policies that insurers write, as well as the investments that insurers have.
So this is framed as a guidance. Does that mean New York insurers need to follow this, or it's just recommendations from the state?
Yeah, so the way we look at this is climate risk is becoming more and more becoming a material risk to that to our insurers. So this is a set of expectations that we put out, and these are the ways that insurers can follow in order to appropriately manage their climate risk and be prepared.
So I know growing up, when my parents had expectations for me, they might follow up those expectations with some sort of carrot or stick reward model. Will DFS have some sort of enforcement mechanism with its expectations?
Yeah, so that's a great way to put it. As a regulator, we really have a range of tools to implement our expectations. Like the extreme ones will be like cease and desist and fines, but there are many things we can do before that. So we understand that a lot of our insurers are still just starting this journey. Some have made progress, some have made good progress, and it will take time for them to get to where we want them to be. So we said in the guidance, for certain expectations, such as establishing the board governance, which is relatively easy to do, we give them 9 months to implement that. So by August 15, 2020, they should have that in place. And then for a little bit more complex ones, such as establishing the organizational structure, we want to see how they have a specific plan in place by that date. And then for the more complex ones, such as risk appetite, scenario analysis, we'll develop a further time frame. So we're going to, we have actually been examining our insurers on climate-related aspects starting this year for property and casualty insurers and life insurers. So we're going to go deeper in their analysis, in analyzing their response next year. And we'll have discussions with them if we're seeing they're not meeting our expectations and can further engage and take more severe actions if we're not seeing the appropriate progress.
In case you're just joining us, you're listening to the Capital Press Room, and we're speaking with Dr. Nina Chen, who is the Executive Deputy Superintendent of the Department of Financial Services' recently created Climate Division. Do you think that there are insurers, or maybe know that there are insurers in New York who are already factoring in climate change to their internal and external policies?
Yeah, definitely. So we actually issued a report on that. And remember, we have a really wide range of insurers, some the international ones who are very sophisticated on this, and then some smaller ones who are just starting. So what we found from our analysis was that a good amount of insurers have started considering this, especially for property and casualty insurers, where they have been dealing with natural disaster for decades. That's their bread and butter. For other life insurers and health insurers, it's a bit newer to them, but usually the larger ones have done more on this, and a lot of them have started to make progress.
At this point, we're talking about climate risk in the context of insurers that are under the department's regulatory oversight. Do you think other financial entities at some point will get a similar guidance from the department?
Yeah, so we are working on a similar guidance on the banking side as well. Remember, last year we issued a circular letter for insurers and the industry letter for banks, basically establishing the high-level expectation that our entities need to consider climate risk in their board governance, business strategies, risk management, and public disclosure. So the guidance really is elaborating on these expectations and really provide guidance on how our entities can implement these expectations.
So as I mentioned at the top, you joined the department in 2020 to serve as the first ever Sustainability and Climate Initiatives Director. And in early November, you got tapped to serve as the Executive Deputy Superintendent of a new climate division within the department. What is envisioned with this new climate division? What is your mandate as you see it?
Yeah, so I think this is really to deepen and expand the work we have started doing. We're really just scratching the surface in terms of climate-related supervision, even though we're very proud to be the first U.S. regulator to put out detailed guidance on managing climate risk. But there is so much more that we need to do. We need to go deeper in our exams. We want to engage more with our entities to support their capacity building. And also, we spend a lot of time coordinating with our federal counterparts and other state counterparts to ensure that there is consistency and we're sending the same message. And hopefully, with more resources, we can also look further into climate resilience, how we can support sustainable growth in New York and contribute to the CLCPA goal.
Is there an expectation that there will be more resources to pursue that expanded scope that you're talking about?
Yeah, so we are in the process of hiring people. And obviously, that always takes a bit of time, but I'm hopeful that we'll have more resources.
What's the pitch you make to people as you try to hire for this new division, especially coming mm-hmm. from outside of government? Do you find that people are excited about the opportunities that are presented here, or is there a reluctance maybe from people who are traditionally advocating from outside of government?
Yeah, so we were actually pleasantly surprised by the candidates that have applied. Mm-hmm. And I think for a few reasons, New York obviously is a financial capital of the U.S. and of the world. And DFS being a leader in this space, and it really has made a mark on climate-related supervision in the U.S. So I think people are excited to be able to influence, if they join, to be able to further this work. And also a lot of people see the importance of government regulators playing a proactive role in addressing climate risk. So we're quite happy with the candidate pool.
How about your own experience in your year and a half now working in New York State government? Has the experience exceeded what you hoped for when you joined back in the spring of 2020?
Well, so I came from private sector in finance, and then worked at a nonprofit. I really didn't have any expectation per se before I took the job. I don't tend to have expectations going into a new thing. I just take whatever comes to me as it is. But I have found my colleagues to be extremely supportive. I think climate change is a topic that really resonates with a lot of people. People are passionate about it. So I've been very fortunate to have my colleagues really supporting me on top of the heavy workload they already have. So I'm very grateful for that.
Well, we've been speaking with Dr. Nina Chen. She is the Executive Deputy Superintendent of the Department of Financial Services New Climate Division. Dr. Chen, thank you so much for making the time, and good luck with the work.
Thank you. Nice talking to you.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.
Join us again for Capitol Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.